Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back in CFC, my home. I consider this my home. Even though I left Bangalore in 1987, the Lord has given me grace to be back almost once or twice for the last almost 36 years, and I praise God. The fellowship has grown significantly from first our home in 16 DeCosta Square, where I remember in 1975 there were a few families who met. Maybe it felt like 10 or 15, and then it got too big to be in 16 DeCosta Square, and the Lord opened up 40 DeCosta Square, and there were maybe 100, and now we don't find our strength in numbers, because it's easy when we have a bigger church to think that we're popular. And at the time when Christian Fellowship Center started, it was unpopular. We were looked down upon. When I went to school, people looked at me differently because we were in this special, we had left another church. Now it's easy to be in a church that's bigger and to think it's popular and you're part of a bigger movement. And you have to go back to those days of small beginnings and think back to all the faithfulness the Lord has shown us, especially as we finish up calendar 2023 and we enter another year. God's mercy that He gives us another year to live. And I was thinking about, you know, the promise that we read as the memory verse, 1 John 4:16. You have come to know the love of God. And that's truly my witness and my testimony that the Lord has really been good to us. Now, in the fellowship here, many of you were not born even in 1975 or the 80s. How many of you, raise your hand if you're below the age of 25? Raise your hand if you're below the age of 25. Raise it a little higher so I can see. How many of you are below the age of 35? Also raise your hand. Sizable. Many of this were born in. If you're below the age of 25, good news is my dad said you're out of man. It's still not yet decade. Well, there's still hope for many of us who are over the age of 25, even if I'm. But I have a message for especially those of you who are young, whatever you think your young age is. Because when we come to the judgment seat of God, we will be tested not on how, you know, success. Nothing in this earth matters. Success, your education, many of you who are in your teenagers are working very hard to get into college. That's all important. But none of that matters. At the end, one thing will matter. And we all know that verse. If you look in Matthew 25, verse 21. When it comes to the very end, it's this parable that we all know very well. We will all be judged on being good and faithful. It's very good to remember that. And I was thinking about that good news on Saturday night in my time. I'm able to watch the CFC service at Sunday morning here. And that's what we heard last weekend. Brother Zach spoke about these pairs, faith and love. And the Bible is full of many of those illustrations of pairs. And I want to talk about that today because there's so much that can be said about being good and faithful, or in much of the Bible it talks about righteousness and faithfulness. And these are two sides of the same coin, brothers and sisters. And don't forget that very young people, you will not be judged at the judgment seat of God on how successful you were in your engineering exams. You have to work hard. It's important to be hardworking, especially in India, it's very competitive. I encourage young people to work hard, but at the end of the day, we're being judged on whether we are righteous and faithful at the end of it. And in many of those pairs that we read in the Bible, there's that balance, as Brother Zach spoke last Sunday. Faith and love, grace and truth, kindness and severity. And it's important that we learn at a very young age the balance of that. Faithfulness is tested in the small things. There's a saying, I think the Japanese say that trust and faithfulness is tested by being faithful for 99 years and not slipping up for 1 second. That's how faithfulness is tested, and that's a very high bar. But the good news is God seeks from us, as we heard this morning, a humble heart. And that's how we can ever get to that point of even saying, Lord, how can we be faithful till we're 84? Some have lived even beyond that we know we're saints. And I think I want to just reinforce a few of the things that we heard this morning for all of you young people. Faithfulness in little things. I have found very few who can rival my father's memory for verses. There were some here growing up who memorized verses very well. I encourage them. I always admire their mind of ability to remember verses. If you don't have as good a memory for verses, the good news now is you can find almost any verse with YouVersion. And I encourage you, young brothers and sisters, get comfortable doing two things at least every day. Listen to the daily devotional. It's changed my life. It's changed our children's life. We make it a requirement for our children on their drive to school to listen to 10 or 15 minutes of the daily devotional. It doesn't take long. All of you have access now to, likely on your phone or a device. You can listen to it. That's faithfulness. It changes life. And then get comfortable reading the Bible and looking up passages of Scripture. If you have YouVersion, it's very easy. For this example, this morning, my dad said something where he said, well, there was something about holy and reverend in the Psalms. And obviously he didn't remember it, but the good news now with technology, you can look it up, and it's in Psalm 111, verse 9. I don't have a memory as good as my dad, but I wanted to look it up. So you can type it in very quickly and you can find it. Get comfortable, brothers and sisters, looking up verses and studying the Bible. Faithfulness is tested in little things, and when your mind is young, I always admire how young kids, their mind is like a sponge. And all of us, as we get older, past that peak age is 18, 19, 20, when you're in college. I was talking to a young brother today who's in medical college. It's 4 years of intense medical college, and then 2 years after that of internship, and then some training, and post. And then six or 7 years later, you're ready to be a doctor, studying all these thick books. Same way, brothers and sisters, you can be tested of faithfulness in little things. The best concordance, now in the past we have ever had a concordance that was in a book form. Very, very easy to now look these up and study what faithfulness means for you. And I want to share a few of those things, because it's amazing to me the number of times in the Bible it talks about righteousness and faithfulness, and those two things go together. I'll read you another one where this was tested in a very young age of someone. 1 Samuel 26, verse 23. And we can look at 1 Samuel 26, verse 23. Here was David, and this is the passage where he, with his men, have an opportunity to kill Saul. Many, many times where Saul is seeking to kill him. But this was the time where they even got right into the camp of Saul and had the opportunity to kill him, but he chose not to, but instead took his spear and his jug and went up to the top of the hill. And then, even though David, who was, not faithful, but he had a heart for God. When Saul asked him, why did you not kill me? In 1 Samuel 26, verse 23, this is a good verse for all of us young people to remember, all young people to remember. The Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Again, when we get to the end of our life, God will reward each man for their righteousness and faithfulness every day. And righteousness and faithfulness is not tested at this pulpit. Every brother and sister, if you're a young girl who one day becomes a mother and you have your place and home and the only thing you have to do is take care of your children, you can be tested in goodness and faithfulness and righteousness and faithfulness. If you're a young brother who helps here in ministry, here maybe using the video or the audio or playing an instrument or cleaning afterwards, you're You can be tested in goodness and righteousness and faithfulness, in little things. So at a young age, David learned that what was important to God was that righteousness and faithfulness. And I think even to this day, you know, every year people make New Year's resolutions around January, and then they forget it a few weeks later. They all, you know, whether it's losing weight or something or the other. And the whole world, when it comes to another year or another year of their birthday, they want to stay young, right? You wish you were 25 again when you're in your 30s, 40s, or in my case, 50s. You know what the secret to staying young? Let me read it again in Psalm 92. It's a really good passage for us to listen to, and it can teach us a few things. Psalm 92 and verse 12 to 15. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit at old age. They will be full of sap and very green, and they will declare, "The Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." So if you want to be having full of sap and green when you're 84 years old, or 70, or 60, or 50, then, you know, maybe 80 is the new 70, or 70 is the new 60, or 50 is the new 40. Very simple here. It's not about all of what the world will tell you, you know, become a vegetarian, or have plastic surgery, or things like that. It's very simple. Take faithfulness and righteousness seriously. The righteous, that's every day. Every day. God tests us in a little bit. And when we hear a word like this, it's very easy to then say, "Lord, this is too difficult." And that's exactly what we know the disciples faced when they heard this. And there were two reactions. John 6, verse 68, many of the disciples, as we know, heard this and they left. And they did not want to do it. And then Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Do you also want to leave?" It's very easy when we hear this word to leave and to say, "Lord, I can't achieve this standard that CFC has taught about." And then we come back to God in humility and say, "Lord, like Jesus, like Peter said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We depend in our helplessness, we depend on you." And when I think back to my growing up years here, you know, it's sad. Some of the, there were some brothers around my age and some older who were a tremendous help to me during that time and age when I was in my teenage years. Some of them are no longer with us in our fellowship anymore. I don't even know if some of them are following Jesus today. Sadly, I pray for them when I remember them. But for a period of time, the Lord even used them as a way to keep me encouraged. And what I have sought, brothers and sisters, is even through the ups and downs to say, "Lord, this fellowship, this is where the words of eternal life." So if I'm finding there's a point where I'm struggling, any of you who are struggling, be like that lady who, even after 12 years of hemorrhaging, she just wanted to touch the robe of Jesus. And Jesus healed her. Or that centurion in Capernaum who had faith, and Jesus said, "I have not seen faith like this." Do not give up. And you know, when you feel like you're failing, reach out to Jesus, like Peter did when he was sinking. And as a young brother or sister, learn to depend on him at a young age. When I think about faithfulness in the early years of this church, I was sharing this at my dad's birthday a month ago when we were celebrating that at NCCF. I remember many Sunday evenings or Saturday evenings, Brother Zach and Brother Ian would get together in our home. And, you know, I would hear this almost loud wailing upstairs, in the upstairs. deep crying of prayer. And I realize today, you know, 30, 40, almost 50 years later, that the faithfulness of these brothers in prayer, in deep agony in praying, is what created the foundation, the pillars, so to speak. Think of these pillars here that hold this building up. And that's what can happen when we are faithful, brothers and sisters. We, and righteous and faithful, the next generation gets to benefit from it. One day, one of you are 25 or 35 will become a parent. And then your burden will be for the next generation, just like our elders is for the next generation. And now we see, I'm so thankful for our four elders now in our church and their faithfulness that's borne out. And the Lord will entrust you with your own children, and you'll pray that they can be righteous and faithful. They can be good and faithful. That at the time when the Lord comes, all of us, the circle will not be broken. Because we've all taught us, our family and our children and the next generation, about goodness and faithfulness every day. So what will we do when we hear this? We say, Lord, we will do as we heard this morning. Be humble, be humble, be humble. I love that progression of Paul where he just felt he was lower and lower and lower to the point where he says, I'm the worst of all sinners. And I want to follow the others who are ahead of me. Doesn't mean it just age. There are many who are younger. I often said my brothers who are younger than me. They walk ahead of me in Christ. I've seen their faithfulness. Age is no respecter. You could be a young brother who is way ahead of someone who's twice your age because you were righteous and faithful in the secret places and God advanced your walk. But I'm thankful that I can walk along and I can walk along with other brothers and sisters, as we heard. And there comes a time when if you can follow someone else as they follow Christ, you can then look behind and say the same thing, 1 Corinthians 11:11. Follow me as I follow Christ. And we saw that picture of those two Brownlee brothers running together. That becomes the opportunity for many of you who are young, as you cross that age of 25 and 35 and 45 and 55 and 65, you get to come alongside other brothers and encourage them in their walk so that when it comes to the end, we can all say, Lord, thank you. You've been good and faithful. I have seen that good, 1 John 4 says, I have seen the goodness of God and I'm grateful for that. And I want you, young brother, coming alongside me, or my son or my daughter, I want you to see that goodness. And I want you to learn that goodness and faithfulness. And if you fall, that's okay. Get back up and be faithful. Again, don't give up. Don't give up. There are many who have been at CFC who have given up some way or the other. Sadly, they're not faithful anymore. But those who have persisted, over time, God's given them grace. And it's not because of any strength of our own. It's a tremendous mercy of God. There is no difference. Why did God allow any of us to still stay in this church when many have fallen away? Some of them have fallen away and they don't have any faith anymore. It's the kindness and goodness of God. So I'm grateful for that. I want Jesus to be the center of my joy, the shepherd of my soul, every day, because I see other witnesses who have gone ahead of me, who are 20, 30, 40 years older than me sometimes, and have found that faithfulness, not just in their own life, in their married life. I remember asking a brother in Europe when I was just about to get married 18 years ago, what was the secret to their, they'd been married 60 years? It's actually Brother Eckholt. He's been here to CFC many, many years ago. And he said, every day, I seek to not have my will, but God's will, in many cases, giving up my will for my wife. That's faithfulness in marriage, where we're constantly bearing about the dying of Jesus in our married life. And you hear all these sad situations of even sometimes pastors have been unfaithful to their wife. It didn't happen because of one small error. It was small seeds of unfaithfulness somewhere along the way, maybe an addiction of some kind, and it ultimately led to a public sin. And we can all be faithful in little things in our private life, in our first on our own individuals, men, brothers, sisters, and then in our married life, if you're married, in our parenting life, there's so much opportunity to be a better dad, better mom in the next year. I pray that the Lord will give us great grace. And the only way we can do that is if we see Jesus as the person we want to follow, as the shepherd of our soul.